Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Tony Gonzalez played for 17 seasons, 14 times he was a Pro Bowler. That's in the history of the National Football League. That's tied for the most times. And so we're going into week eight, and week eight is probably where everything hurts. You're seeing, my wife even mentioned it yesterday. She's like, man, there's a lot of players hurt this year. And I'm like, well, no preseason, no training camp. You know, that's probably part of it. Tony Gonzalez now joining me live. So by week eight of an NFL season, and when I first had you on the air years and years ago, you really took care of your body. But by week eight, I've had players tell me the league changes. You feel different. It's not the same. So as we go, we get very close to the halfway point. Week eight's the halfway point. How was your body going forward? Did you feel like you had more care? You needed more sleep? We're halfway through the NFL season. How does a player feel today?
Well, I mean, this is, you're right. This is where it gets, a sore, but you kind of get used to it. At least for me, I always felt like I was sore. I felt like something was wrong. You know, your ankle, your knee, there's something nagging you, and you might even have something more than that, something a little bit more major, but you got to take care of yourself. You got to get your sleep. You can't burn the candle on both ends, the midnight oil. So you don't really go out as much. You're in the training room, you're just trying to do the best you can to take care of yourself to get through it.
Yeah. Kansas City yesterday scored a touchdown on offense, defense, and special teams. In the last couple of weeks, they have not asked Patrick Mahomes to carry the franchise. He's throwing 23 times. They're protecting him. They're doing everything well. I love it. I mean, you played on, if I recall, two or three really good teams. Did you ever feel like that you were on a team that literally all three elements, special teams, defense, and offense, all three were loaded? Did you ever have, because Kansas City's getting to the point where I feel like they're becoming a perfect team, which is they have a star quarterback and they don't need him. I mean, yesterday it was ho-hum. Did you ever plan a team that was good on all three phases?
Well, I did. I think my 16th year in the league, we went to the NFC Championship game. That was the most balanced team that I ever played on. And even then, it was way more swung towards the offense. We had Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, myself, Roddy White, Michael Turner in the backfield. We had some good players on the defensive side of the ball as well, but they weren't where we were at as far as the offense. And that's why you don't win the Super Bowl. And the times I've had it before, I remember back in, with the Kansas City Chiefs, Priest Holmes, and the offense, we had the number one offense in the league and the last ranked defense in the league. And of course, you lose the first round of the playoffs when you have that type of team. But looking at the Chiefs this year, when you have that type of bounce, that's what spells Super Bowl. That's why they won the Super Bowl last year. That defense, they won the Super Bowl because their defense stepped up last year. It's not about the offensive side of the ball. And the defense looks better than it did last year.
Yeah.
It looks more balanced. It looks more aggressive. And if you have that, then once again, I know there's some pretty good teams. Pittsburgh's a great team in the AFC, but still, my money's on the Kansas City Chiefs to make another Super Bowl run.
Yeah, no, they've got some playmakers on the defensive side. Tony Gonzalez joining us. So Odell Beckham is out for the year. And, it's interesting. It's almost like, is it genetics? Is it luck? You didn't get hurt. Odell now, he's defined by a lot of injuries. That's kind of, Jarvis Landry is not. Odell is. It's bad breaks. Do you think injuries are just bad luck? Or can you avoid them by health and training? You and Brady are obsessed. Russell Wilson, you and Brady are obsessed with nutrition and health. None of you get hurt. Or is it, what do you make of players that get hurt a lot?
I look back and there are times that I would put on the tape, Colin, the next day of me blocking somebody, for instance, and then all of a sudden some lineman gets thrown into me and I get my leg just up at the last split second. And when the coach is like, man, if your foot was planted there, if it was just a half a second later, you would have been out for the season. So there is luck that plays into that. But also, one thing that I do believe, and I believe this, we talk about it on the set all the time with Howie and Miles, talking to Strahan about this yesterday. When we practice as hard as we can go. I don't believe that you can, you know, take the car out once a week and rev the engine up. You got to do it consistently every day. Otherwise, you blow your engine out when you do finally go. And you're seeing a lot of these non-contact injuries, kind of like that one right there, where he's just running, really, and the knee goes out. I was very cognizant. Whenever we went on that football field practice time, it was full speed for me, 100 miles an hour, because I wanted to keep my body in that moment. I didn't want my body to forget that this is how we operate, so I don't shock it when we go out there on Sundays.
Pittsburgh's defense is it's just terrorizing people. Even Tennessee was totally befuddled in the first half. Go back to your entire career, 17 years. What was the best defense you faced? And when you face a great defense, what is the difference? Scheme, speed, strength. Go back to the best defense you faced. What made it so difficult?
Well, I'm a big believer. You got to have players. You got to have horses. Okay. You got to have the horses that go around the track. And you look at every Super Bowl winning team. They always have some all pros on that side of the ball. You can't just say, okay, if we play hard enough in our scheme, that'll get us through it. You got to have the guys. And so you need a combination of that and then guys in the right place. I think you can always look at the New England Patriots when they always do pretty well because they're always in the right place. I remember I've had my worst games against the New England Patriots. I had one catch for 13 yards against Bill Belichick and the Patriots because they know how to scheme really well. But if you look at the great defenses, I remember the Baltimore Ravens defense. Look at all the Hall of Famers they had on that side of the ball when they went and made that Super Bowl. You got Ray Lewis. You got Ed Reed. You got guys I can't remember right now. Even go back to the Tampa Bay Bucks defense when they won the Super Bowl and they had that great defense. You got Warren Sapp. You got John Lynch. You got Rondé Barber. You got guys that are Hall of Fame pedigree when you have those legendary type defenses.
So is Tampa the best team you've seen in the league so far?
Absolutely. I mean, we were just talking about it yesterday. It seems like, you know, I guess it's like boiling water. You know, when you ever boil water and you look at it and it starts to bubble up and you see it and you're like, here it comes. And then all of a sudden it starts boiling. This team right now is boiling to me on offense, on defense, on special teams. Tom Brady looks way better than he's looked at the beginning of the season. Even Gronkowski, I kind of wrote him off at the beginning of the season. I remember saying, well, you look slow. I guess the partying was, you know, it's catching up to him, but he's starting to come around. And I think with them playing like this, and then you add Antonio Brown, it's going to be a merry-go-round of talent. And just, you got to pick which you want to ride the zebra today. You want to ride the horse. You want to ride the lion, whatever. And that's what I think the only thing that's going to stop this team to me at this point. And I don't think it's going to happen because Tom Brady's there. It's about guys, you know, checking your ego at the door. I always say no ego has no amigo. You might not catch your 5-6 balls that you're used to, especially with Antonio Brown coming. It's all about winning, and I think you couldn't have a better guy than Tom Brady to be at the helm of that team because of all the talent that they have.
Tony, finally, Cowboy players, I was shocked. Andy Dalton got cheap-shotted, and nobody went over to John Bostic. Many have speculated players have quit. It's just hard to hockey and football. I don't know how you quit. You get hurt. Were you ever on a team that you felt like guys weren't going full speed? Like was that ever, you were part of that? You've been part of that?
Yeah, absolutely. We won two games. I shouldn't say the year, but yeah, you get on those teams when you're not winning and guys back in it. I think it's kind of human nature. It takes a special person to still, because football's tough, it's hard. And when the wheels fall off, and I've been on these teams that where the wheels fall off, human nature, you got to understand that, you know, 50, 60% of the team is going to dial it in. They're going to say, hey, you know what? We're not going to the playoffs. We stink. We're getting embarrassed. We're on, you know, we're the Cowboys. Everybody's going to be talking about us. And I think it's just kind of human nature. I don't know how you that's where the critical coaching comes in. And I think Coach McCarthy, he's he's getting a little bit of a bad rap because I heard the interview after the game that he gave. And he even said it. He goes, you know, after that hit, he was saying, you know, he would have liked to have seen some guys rally around his quarter, around the quarterback. And I said the same thing. That should have been a melee. That should have been a big fight on the football field because that was a cheap shot by Bostic. Now, I'm sure he has his reasons why he did it or whatever, but the way it looked to me, it was an absolute cheap shot. And that's where other linemen, other players, the bench, it should have been something like that because that is your lifeline. And you just don't do that to other players, especially in this day and age of football. So I think right now half of that team is gone. They're packing their bags. They're saying, where am I going during the offseason? I might get traded. The wheels have fallen off completely with the Cowboys. And I hope they get it back together because they still have some talented players. But that defense is not playing hard. They're not stopping anybody. They didn't stop Washington. They give up. Washington had their best game of the season against the Cowboys. And they're somewhat pretty healthy. It's just it's complete chaos right now down there in Dallas.
NFL kickoff on Sundays. Interviewed Matt Ryan this weekend. Tony Gonzalez, Fox Sports NFL analyst. It's a pleasure. Good seeing you, buddy.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it, man.
Tony Gonzalez. RecTech smart grill technology built by grillers for grillers. RecTech with a Q.com. RECTEQ.com. Here's Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, as Tony just mentioned there, the Bucs are signing Antonio Brown to a one-year deal. This reunites Brady and Antonio Brown after his short stint with New England last season. But Bruce Arians says Brady did not influence the Bucs' decision to bring in AB.
Everybody wants to say that Tom picked him. Tom didn't have anything to do with it. This was something Jason and I have been talking for a couple of weeks ever since the injuries to our other guys. And when the time was right, would we see if we could pull the trigger and fit it into what we want to get done? And we'll see. I mean, we have nothing. If Antonio does what I think he's going to do, he's going to be fine.
Look,
I'm interested.
All due respect.
If everybody gets healthy, what happens when Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are healthy and you have Antonio Brown and you have Gronk and you have Scotty Miller?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's...
Somebody's not going to catch.
That's a very valid question. There's not enough plays to go around. But, I mean, come on. You didn't talk to Tom Brady, who clearly has a relationship with Antonio Brown. Look, I'm just saying, I'm not buying 100% of what was just said. Like, Tom Brady clearly knew about this and obviously had input. He is the quarterback of Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and it's Tom Brady.
Well, remember when Antonio Brown went to New England, there was a story. I think we reported it. Tom was upset they let him go so quick in New England. Because Tom had all these other receivers. Like, he's the one guy that can separate on the roster.
Well, also, Arian said, was asked about bringing Antonio Brown in, and he said, it's not going to happen. I just know him, and it's not a good fit in our locker room. He was the Steelers offensive coordinator from 2010 and 11 with Antonio Brown. He also, according to Jay Glazer, Arian told Antonio Brown that he needed to be a team player or be gone.
I like to set the boundaries. I like that.
I mean, it has to be a zero-tolerance situation with Antonio Brown.
It's just going to be really interesting because everybody's been banged up. Well, if Mike Evans and Chris Godwin get healthy, Scotty Miller and Antonio Brown, and remember, I still contend Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones, this could be a power running team. Does not need to be an aerial circus. It doesn't.
I understand the move from the perspective that Aaron was talking about with the injuries that they have. But to
oh,
your
I get
point,
it.
When everyone gets healthy...
What becomes of...
And,
guys
and
want
Antonio
the ball.
Brown is used to being the number one receiver, not just on a team, like in the league.
I will say this. You and I, we always say we're in the interesting business. I am fascinated to watch it.
Me too.
I think it feels like now with beat up receivers, it would work. By the way, Tyler Johnson is not AB, but he's emerging. So like they've just got a lot of weapons. At some point, they're going to be all healthy. I just hope AB's okay with a two-catch game because that's going to be the reality for all these guys.
Well, if he's not, they cut him. If he ends up being a problem, then you have to cut him. And the excuse is we had a lot of injuries. We wanted to bring him in because of that, and we needed reinforcements and told him that he needed to be a team guy. And if he's not, then he's gone. I don't think you're going to like suffer through a locker room meltdown with Antonio Brown.
Right.
What's the value there? There's none.
Yeah.
They have too many weapons, to your point. So I think it's an interesting experiment. I don't know how it's all going to work out. But like I said, and you said, it's interesting. So
yeah.
We'll see what happens. But I don't know. But I have to guess that Tom Brady played a small role.
Yes.
In Antonio Brown.
Fairly small role.
Being in Tampa Bay. Justin Herbert had a big day in the Chargers' 39-29 win over the Jaguars. He threw for 347 yards and three touchdowns.
Look at this. Just look at this. Joy, that's a 50-yard throw. Nobody watched this game. That ball's 40 yards in the air. Flick of the wrist.
Now he's the future.
God, he is.
They made the right choice.
You know what? This goes back to one of those things. We judged him because we didn't like his college offense. It's not him. It was the college offense, which was way too conservative.
I wasn't sold, and we've talked about this a lot. I wasn't sold on him until the bowl game.
We both said in the Rose Bowl, it's like, folks, when Oregon just said, let him play, take the game over, he reminds me of Trevor Lawrence. It's the same. Good student, good kid, big, strong arm, can run. Look at this throw, though.
He led the team in rushing with 66 yards and a rushing touchdown.
That ball travels 38 yards in the air. It is a flick of the wrist.
With this performance on Sunday, Herbert joined Patrick Mahomes as the only two quarterbacks in NFL history to pass for at least 250 yards in each of their first five stats.
So what did we learn from Justin Herbert? What did we learn? We learned that sometimes the college offense can limit the quarterback, that if it's a very strong-willed run coach, that it absolutely limits what a quarterback can do. So you have to watch that. Like for years and years, Big 12 quarterbacks didn't work in the NFL because the offenses were too sticky. Well, now the NFL does more spread, so the offensive Big 12 quarterbacks, they actually work in the NFL. But the Oregon thing was, everybody kept saying the same thing. He looks very rigid at Oregon. It's like, no, it wasn't the player, it was the offense.
What I look for is consistency, obviously, at the quarterback position. But what I really pay attention to is, what do you do in the biggest games, the biggest stakes?
Great point.
And do you make plays yourself? Like, obviously, all these top quarterbacks are going to have playmakers around them. Like, that was a big knock on Joe Burrow. He has so much NFL talent around him. So did Tua. Like, all these guys are playing with top-level receivers and weapons. But do you make plays yourself? Do you make plays with your legs? Are you moving out of the pocket? Are you able to make things happen in big moments? Because to me, that's what the NFL is. Of course, you're going to need to be consistent. It's going to be a step up in speed and responsibility and pressure. But do you have it in you to make a big play?
Well, it's the other thing about learning stuff. Like, I didn't love that Joe Burrow transferred from Ohio State to LSU. I said, if you're great, then why do you have to transfer? Because you couldn't get out JT Barrett. But Justin Fields transferred from Georgia to Ohio State, and I look at it differently now. I'm like, okay, I got Joe Burrow. I was too critical on the transfer. Justin Fields, now I watched him Saturday, and he's lost weight, and they're asking him now just to throw the ball more. Like, you just learn stuff in this process of judging quarterbacks. So the transfer, I was always kind of negative on, well, why, if you're so great, if you're Peyton Manning, why are you transferring?
Well, yeah, and also, you know, things are political, right?
That's
like, certain coaches get attached to have loyalties to certain guys, and maybe they are equal at that point in their college careers, and the coach goes with the guy who feels like knows the system more, or there's more comfortable, or they don't like an injury that the other player had. Why should that player sit there and waste the final years of his college career if another big school wants to give him the opportunity to be a starter?
North Carolina State's coach bailed on Russell Wilson his last year. Said, yeah, I'm not going to go with you. So he went to Wisconsin and was literally 33 touchdowns, 7 picks, Rose Bowl. It happens.
Yeah.
Like, a coach has a style or an offense and you don't fit it, and we're moving on.
And especially in college, you have such a limited window to make it happen and showcase what you can do possibly in the league. So there's a million reasons why kids transfer. Finally, Khabib defended his belt in UFC 254 this weekend. He defeated Justin Gaethje by technical submission with a triangle choke in the second round to retain the lightweight championship. It was his 29th victory to remain undefeated in his career. And after the fight, he made a surprise announcement that he is retiring from UFC. He said he did not want to fight without his father, who passed away in July from COVID-19 complications. He said he promised his mother this would be his last fight, so he has retired from UFC.
He's the greatest fighter ever. In fact, I was watching it and reading this weekend. Some are saying he was never hurt in a fight.
Well,
never
Dana
bloody.
White revealed post-fight press conference that Khabib broke his foot 3 weeks before the fight and still fought and still won.
If you go back, I watched probably 6 of his fights, and it's fascinating. I love Justin Gaethje. He just choked him out this weekend. I'm not sure, was he ever bloodied in a fight? I mean, he took Conor McGregor apart. I don't know if he was ever bloodied in a single. Ali lost multiple times. John Jones, who I thought was the single most talented UFC fighter I'd ever seen. But, I mean, I don't even know if who's the second best fighter in that sport. You could argue on six guys. He is so far and away the best fighter ever in UFC.
He's had a spectacular career. It's unfortunate that it's ending when it is, but, you know, this is...
You know what? And on top.
And on top, and this is something that he feels compelled about. He's a very convictional individual, so I don't know if that's a word. He's a very convicted individual.
I was okay with it. Yeah. I felt comfortable with the use of it.
Did you feel okay with it? I'm pretty sure it's not a word. So.
You were close enough that I knew exactly what you
meant.
You
knew what I meant.
Yes, we're doing live TV. It happens. Joy Taylor with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
It's called the three-word game. You can describe succinctly every NFL game in just three words. I love this game. Coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
If you're not ready to give up, check out mdriveformen.com. Lean muscle. Available at Walgreens. All right, we call it the three-word game that you are forced to be direct and succinct. You can describe every NFL game in just three words. So we're ready for Week 7 NFL three-word game.
Browns and Bengals.
Seen it before. I know Baker's good against the Bengals. He has 114 career passer rating against their defense. 30% of his wins have come against Cincinnati. He's 4-0 against the Bengals, Cowboys, Washington this year. He's 1-2 against the Colts, Ravens, and Steelers. And his win, the Colts game, he was bad in the second half. Stop trying to convince me he's great because he beats the Bengals every year.
Lions at Falcons.
Finding new ways. Oh, good Lord. The Falcons 1-6 blew a fourth quarter lead for the third time this season. Todd Gurley accidentally scored a go-ahead touchdown with a minute four remaining. It gave Atlanta a 22-16 lead. The problem, of course, is that gave the ball back to Detroit, and Matt Stafford passed to T.J. Hockenson as time expired. So they lose when they score and seemingly win.
Cowboys at Washington.
Fire absolutely everyone. The Cowboys have trailed by 14-plus points in six straight games. Arizona had Steve Wilks. They made a mistake. They moved on. You've just got to acknowledge, Jerry, the last two coaches that pushed back, Parcells and Jimmy Johnson, are the last two times you won big. Be a smart businessman. This isn't working.
Steelers at Titans.
Been here before. Roethlisberger struggled. He had a 67 passer rating. Only this missed field goal is the only reason we don't go to overtime, and I like Tennessee in that overtime. Ben is a big play quarterback, and they led 27-7 in the third, but too many mistakes. A lack of detail by Ben Roethlisberger almost cost the Steelers a game in which they outplayed Tennessee for most of 3 hours.
Bills at Jets.
Hurt my eyes. Jets had 4 total yards in the second half. The 8-point loss by the Jets with Darnold was their closest game of the year, and Buffalo won a game without scoring a touchdown.
Panthers at Saints.
Living on reputation. Saints ain't right, folks. They've allowed opposing quarterbacks to have a quarterback rating of 116 this year. Lattimore, what happened? Pass rush, what happened? They ranked 24th in scoring defense. They've won their last three games despite trailing at some point in each of those games. They're just not as good defensively. And they can't. There's something going on with Michael Thomas and the staff as he can't get healthy. They're not right.
Packers at Texans.
Who's got Adams? Could somebody double team Devontae Adams or something? He had 8 catches, 114 yards in the first half. 196 total yards. I'm always amazed by this. Like, at some point, their number two receiver isn't as lethal. Just double him. That's what Belichick does. Just take out their best player. Texans couldn't figure it out.
Buccaneers at Raiders.
Starting to click. Tom Brady, 370 passing yards. How about Gronk? 5 receptions and a touchdown. So Gronkowski now is becoming part of this offense. Rookie Tyler Johnson had it. Scotty Miller. They 4 different Buccaneers caught touchdown passes. They're getting healthier and they're getting better.
Jaguars at Chargers.
Herbert has it. My God. 5 games, he's averaging 308 yards. He has 12 TDs, 3 picks. Now, I do like their weapons. He looks so comfortable. He'll throw right in the face of a rush. He'll throw right before he's going to get whacked. Yesterday, 4 TDs, no picks. You know, even though it was his first win of his career, I will say this. They've been in games. He's had some bad luck. Their defense is not quite as good without Derwin James as you'd hope, but he looks special.
49ers at Patriots.
Bill comes due. Belichick's worst loss, 27-point loss at Foxborough. Now, some of this is San Francisco's good. They're getting healthier. They don't have Bosa, but that's still a decent pass rush. First time New England not scoring a touchdown at home in 4 years. Cam Newton's passer rating has declined each game. And listen, they don't draft offensive skill people well. And so good luck to Cam or anybody that's a quarterback here. You cannot win with this slow of a receiving and tight end core. I don't care if you have Mahomes. You can't win big with this roster.
Chiefs at Broncos.
Mahomes, day off. Season low in attempts, completions, passing yards, touchdown passes. This is a much more complete team. From about week 12 on last year, this is a real football team, totally complete.
Seahawks at Cardinals.
Present versus future. You were watching a mirror image of Russell Wilson. His name was Kyler Murray. Wildly entertaining. Too many mistakes to call it a classic. But it was just deep balls and running around and great plays. Wildly entertaining. Wildly entertaining football game. Both offenses combined for 1,091 yards. God, it was great. I thought the game was over. So I had Seattle minus 3.5. They led by 10 with about 3.5 minutes to go. And then Pete Carroll got conservative. And I'm like, Pete, you trust this defense? They gave it back to Kyler. He moved the ball down 55 seconds. Boom, 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 field goal. We go to overtime. Maddening if you're a Seahawks fan.
It was a great game, though.
Oh, God, it was. So, plus, the World Series game was fantastic. Great Dodgers bullpen, just lousy enough to make every game fascinating. All right, we're done for today. Speak for Yourself is right around the corner for Joy and John and everybody here. It's The Herd.